May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Couples who are planning their weddings often choose that lyrical passage from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians that we heard a few minutes ago. It's often considered the ultimate description of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not irritable, it reads. Love does not insist upon its own way. Love never ends. It just feels right and reassuring to hear those words at a time when two people are committing themselves to married life until we are parted by death. Paul's words are commonly understood as praising romantic human love. But Bible scholars, as they often do, remind us that it ain't necessarily so. Paul's audience and message, in fact, were not for a storybook wedding. His letters to new believers living in Corinth were intended to discourage disagreements and divisions within the community. The early part of Paul's letter notes that the people have been quarreling. Apparently, there are other problems as well, and he goes on to name some, including jealousy, sexual immorality, and idolatry. And there were more. Paul was very concerned about the Corinthians. And he tries to refocus them on what he calls the life that God called them to. There are varieties of gifts and varieties of activities, he says, but it is the same God who activates them in everyone. Your calling, each of you, just as each of the Corinthians and all those early Christians, is from God, a God who is generous, kind, and faithful, a God who loves you to the end, no matter what. Paul is trying to teach them, and us too, what it means to live together in Christian community. Divisions and quarreling may seem inevitable, but we should get past them. I will show you a more excellent way, he writes in a short half verse that comes just before our lesson for today. And at least one Bible scholar suggests that a better translation of a more excellent way would be something like a way beyond measuring. A way beyond measuring. Measuring, in essence, is what the Corinthians are doing. Measuring their gifts against those of others. Measuring their status against a neighbor's history or standing in the community. And Paul is having none of that. Straighten up, his words seem to shout at them. It reminds me of we tell our kids and grandkids, in my case, stop arguing and play nice with your sister. Well, people haven't changed much, have they, in all those centuries? Life in Corinth wasn't in many ways so very different from America now, because human behavior is human behavior. When you read or listen to the news today, wouldn't you just like to scream sometimes, stop it? Stop it. Quit with the arguing and the fighting and the scrambling for a leg up on the next guy. I hope some of you feel that way because I don't want to be the only one. Good, I see some hands of agreement out there. But Paul wants to move them and us past all of that to a better way beyond measuring, a way that's characterized by love. This love will free them from the disruptive competition and will shape their lives in a new way. It's love that is patient and kind, love that is selfless, love that never ends. Paul says, "Let me show you a more excellent way, a way that goes beyond measuring and competing, and it's the way of Jesus Christ." And then he launches in to this beautiful sermon about love. Not romantic human love, not even God's agape love. He means Christian love that we all have within us and that we all participate in. A love that we should have for one another. Love that is generous and caring. Love that is steady and never falters. Love you can count on. No matter what, no matter who you are or where you're from or what situation you find yourself in, it's love that never ends. If our words don't reflect love, Paul says, we might just as well be a clanging cymbal. Even if we give away all our possessions, but we fail to love our neighbor, we gain nothing. We're pretty good at seeing what divides us, socially, denominationally, politically, and many other ways. We know divisiveness and disagreement can hurt and can cause rejection. Many of us, probably most or all of us, have at one time or another experienced the pain of division and separation ourselves. Jesus, too, runs into judgment and rejection. And beginning with the gospel reading we just heard, this is the first sermon of his short career, and he's in his hometown, speaking to his old neighbors in the synagogue, the folks who think they know him best, but they are not prepared for his challenging message. Jesus reads from the scroll of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to let the oppressed go free." His words are magnificent and moving, and all the people exclaim their amazement until Jesus offers some examples of exactly who he means by the poor and oppressed. He refers back to times when the great prophets of the Hebrew scriptures, Elijah and Elisha, helped people that were on the margins, on the other side, the wrong side of the dividing lines, people who were not part of the Jewish community. One was a poor woman from the pagan city of Sidon, and the other was a foreigner from Syria, of all places. God's love is expansive, he's telling them. At that point, the crowd changes its tune. They try to grab Jesus and throw him off the mountain. Pagans and foreigners. Does it sound at all familiar? The people of Nazareth, and the people of Corinth too, resented anyone who was on the other side. Jesus and Paul preach a different way, the way of stretching the boundaries to include all of God's beloved children. In today's lessons, Jesus and Paul point us in that same new direction. God's love is boundless, they tell us. God's love is patient. God's love is eternal. God's love extends to all people, Jew and Gentile, slave and free, pagan and Syrian. Whether it was a starving woman from Sidon then, or Syrians fleeing war and destruction in their home country today, or kids and families trying to escape hopeless poverty in Central America, God's gracious love includes them all, and God's love never ends. Jesus and Paul urge us to act with that same love, reaching beyond human divisions and prejudgments. They know, and we know, that being patient and kind in every situation is pretty hard. It's pretty hard to do it all the time. But they give us the reassurance that God knows our weaknesses and sees our failures and loves us anyway. God's love gives us the freedom to accept and love others boundlessly, courageously, and generously. The reality is that no matter where we go or who we are, there will be disagreement and division. The answer to that is not to erase it, not to pretend it doesn't exist, or think it will just eventually go away, but rather to embrace more fully how to live into it, among it, and with it, in love. Our calling is to love and care for all those whom God loves, because God is love. To love God means to love each other, and God's love never ends. Amen.